Today's reading is from Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with him, is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.
Let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do once again thank thee that we are here today to worship thee, to praise thy holy name, to give honor where it is due. We thank thee for the Sabbath that comes each week, knowing that in eternity we will be celebrating it with thee and with our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us today, Father. Give us that guidance and direction that we truly may know the pathway to the eternal kingdom. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know that in the beginning, God, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And then all that's in between those words, our guidebook for life with our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible, the book, the holy word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by men of old, over 40 writers, over 1,500 years to write that. We know that the Bible is divided into two divisions, the Old Testament and the New Testament. It has 66 books, thousands of verses, and over 770,000 words. And even though God of heaven knew man's limited capacity, there are people out there that have been able to memorize the whole Bible. What it took for them to do that, I don't have any idea. But we also know that God placed a small Bible within the whole Bible. We know that the word begins with God creating heaven and earth, and then man, and then ending with the recreation of heaven and earth and man. We all will be recreated. The wealth that is contained in the book of God, for his children to live according to his covenant that he has given to us. Just as there are 66 books in the Bible, there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. First 39 of the Old Testament reads like the first 39 chapters in Isaiah. Just like the Old Testament, the last 27 books of the Bible is the New Testament. And Isaiah's last 27 chapters read just like the New Testament. In fact, Isaiah is called the gospel prophet of the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at several verses here today, with all of them, except maybe one, coming from Isaiah. And the question could be asked, are the doctrines of the church found in the book of Isaiah? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to look at a few of the main doctrines of the church that are found in the book of Isaiah. We know that there's 28 doctrines that we go through, and that take a while for us to do that. So we'll look at a few of them today. And the first is about the Godhead. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll turn first to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57. In verse 15, we'll see what it says here about God the Father. We will be doing this verse again later on too today. And we read that there, Isaiah 57, 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. These words characterize God as the eternal one, and that we may dwell with him. What a privilege that he has given to us. What a gift he has given to us. See that. And then we'll go to chapter 9, verse 6, to see about Jesus the Son. Chapter 9, verse 6. And then after this verse, we will go to the chapter 53. But chapter 9, verse 6. Famous words. I hope you have them underlined. For unto a child is born, unto us a son is given, and a government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All the names that we have for our God and for our Savior. And we know that there's only one person in history that these words can apply to. That's Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And now, chapter 53. Chapter 53. We want to kind of take into account here that Isaiah spoke for about 60 years. He came into Providence in 739 BC, and then he preached for about 60 years. So these words are written 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And we'll look at verses 1 through 7 first here. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no room for comeliness, and when he shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid it, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And yes, as we read about our Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, we know that all these things were fulfilled. What a vision given to Isaiah by God to describe a scene that Isaiah would not even be able to see in person. And the emphasis there is on verses 4 through 6. And I pray that when you go home today that you'll read them again to see that. Do that. I'm not going to read the rest. I was going to read the whole chapter, but I decided not to do that. So you can read that when you go home today. But Ellen White tells us that this chapter should be studied. It presents Christ as the Lamb of God. The entire chapter should be committed to memory. Its influence will subdue and humble the soul defiled by sin and uplifted by self-exaltation. Yes, the prophecy foretelling Christ's coming. Christ is the Lamb of God. His humiliation. Christ in the flesh united with humanity. He came just as predicted and suffered just as it says. And we know that we could study this chapter all day long, never exhaust it. So we know that we have to trust and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We weren't there to see all of this, but we take it on faith that it truly happened. And let's see about the Holy Spirit, chapter 61. the Holy Spirit. Chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. We see that that second word, Lord, is all in capital letters. And what did Kevin say that was? What did that mean in capital letters? Oh, I forgot, just 2 weeks ago. That means God, spelled with capital letters. This is a messianic prophecy. The commentary states that verses 1 through 3 present a graphic picture of what the Messiah was to have accomplished for his people Israel as individuals and as a nation. We know that through disobedience, that was not to happen. And we'll look to the doctrine of the Ten Commandments, chapter 48, verse 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. God's commandments shows us what sin is. It's also to guide man in the ways of peace and righteousness. We know that the Ten Commandments have not been abolished. They are there for our protection. So we pray that we know that we need to keep the commandments. They are there for us. And we also know that this little book in Isaiah tells us about the Sabbath. Chapter 56. Chapter 56, verse 2. Chapter 56, verse 2. Blessed is a man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeping his hand from doing any evil. We know to observe the Sabbath is to show the evidence that we recognize God as our Creator and our Redeemer. We know that Sabbath keeping is just as important today as it was back then in Jesus' time. And we'll turn to chapter 58, verse 13. Talking about true Sabbath keeping. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words. We know that communion with God embraces and gives us the remembrance of creation, the power in the day that God made holy. We know that we need to subdue selfishness and do the things that are pleasing to God. We need to honor God, but just not on the Sabbath day. We need to honor God every day of our lives. And also, we are to be witnesses for Christ. And we'll look at chapter 43 and verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. We know that as God's followers and his children, we're to bear witness to the world, to show his divine wisdom and power. We know that the church today is to be the witness and tool to the world. God has chosen the church to be that tool. And if we'll look at Psalms 83:18, that will confirm it. Psalms 83:18. 83:18. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. To proclaim to the world the Word of God, the Holy Word of God. And as we talk about the Word of God, that's also found, the doctrine is found in Isaiah chapter 55. Chapter 55. And verse 11. 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Jesus Christ became the living word, John 1:1. The word is to show God's will, to tell the power of it, the will that we can have, especially upon the lives of the children of God and of the church. The word is to show the power to create, to impart spiritual energy, life, and blessing, to judge and to condemn, to raise men from the grave, and to heal and to redeem. That's our responsibility, to show these things. And we can show that in revival and reformation. As I said, we'd go back to that verse, chapter 57 and verse 15. We'll read that again. 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth in eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. See that God the Father dwells forever. These words characterize God as the eternal one. And he wants to dwell in each one of our hearts. And I pray that we will let him in. Contrition and humility, sincere repentance for sin, and one's own inability to earn salvation. Contrition is a way for justification, and humility is a way for sanctification. It's all part of revival and reformation for the individual as well as for the church. So I pray that we will have that revival and reformation in our lives, especially when it is needed. And we'll also look at the work of the church in chapter 58, verses 6 through 8. Chapter 58, 6 through 8. The word of the church. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the hands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are east of my to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and my righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Yes, to have the glory of the Lord with us there. The true purpose of religion is to release people from their bonds of sin, to to eliminate intolerance and oppression, to promote justice, liberty, and peace, to care for the hungry, the poor, and the needy. They have several other doctrines to go over, but we won't go through all of them, but you'll be able to look them up at home. There's also in this small book, The Doctrine of the Publishing Work, Isaiah 52:7. Isaiah 52:7. The Education Work, 54:13. 54:13. The Word of the Church Pastor, chapter 58 and verse 1. 58 verse 1. Even in gathering that we don't seem to do anymore. Chapter 60 and verse 5. Chapter 60 and verse 5. And unclean foods. Chapter 65, verse 4. Chapter 65, verse 4. And to end with, finally, of the new earth to come. Chapter 66, verses 22 and 23. 66, 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And to help us with that verse, we'll look, go back to one chapter, to chapter 65, in verses 17 through 25. Chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. As we see that these verses here in 65 are Isaiah's description of the new heaven and a new earth that would have been come about if Israel had fulfilled the divine purpose that was given to them. And as we know, that they were not able to do that. So 65, 17 through 25. Talking about the new heavens and the new earth. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice for in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall not die, shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. Whereas the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my mountains, saith the Lord. Yes, these verses also point to the time when God will recreate heaven and earth and man. Yes, a small Bible within the whole Bible. God wants all of people to know that there is a future, that his children may enjoy life with his son, where there's no sin, no death, no separation, that we may all join the peace with our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We know that he is coming again. We know that time is short also. We know that our choice is today, not tomorrow. We cannot put it off any longer. And I pray that ones out there that it have, that you will not put it off any longer. Oh, the truth and the love that God wants us to know of him and his son, Jesus Christ. Our trials past and our joys complete, safe in our Father's home. Yes, our gracious Heavenly Father, glory be to him who can keep you from falling and bring you safe to his glorious presence, innocent and happy, to God, the only God who saves us through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory, majesty, and authority and power which he had before time, now and forever. Amen.